he will die.
I was trying to do a Cain and Abel.
Everybody asks me. They're like, is there a Cain? And I'm like, no.
There was a Cain.
There was a Cain.
That's the better answer.
Well, my parents, they named their cats after like biblical characters.
Of course.
They have Elijah right now.
Very nice.
And so when I got my cat for, like, in grad school, it's like my second week, I brought him home. He had this terrible name, Mr. Cheeks. And I was like, we are not. I am not calling you that.
I kind of live for Mr. Cheeks.
The thing is, Abel wants to be called Mr. Cheeks, but it's...
but he doesn't even respond to it. And so I got out my Bible and just started going through, like, so I got as far as Abel in Genesis.
Oh, dang.
Before he meowed, and I was like, well, that's your name.
Great.
Oh, wow.
Abel.
He doesn't respond to it either.
Does that make you Eve?
Obviously.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Girl. Yeah. I need to go back and trace on that genealogy. All about who begat, who begat.
Oh, yeah. That it's a long one. It's a really long one.
But it all goes down to Joseph at the end, and then Joseph is the stepdad of Jesus.
Pharaoh's number two.
No. Joseph.
Oh, wait, what?
Not like...
So, oh, Joseph, like, you're having a child. You're sure you didn't see them? Okay, I wouldn't be mad.
I wouldn't be mad. You're still a virgin?
Okay, great, cool. Well, that's cool. The first.
That's all I care about.
Not the other one with, like, the coat.
The coat.
Coat Joseph.
Coat Joseph.
You're either the virgin dad Joseph or the coat Joseph.
Yeah. You're either coat Joseph or the person that Jesus is always like, you're not my dad, Joe.
That's too real. Sorry, Abel is playing with me right now, so the podcast can go on hold. Me and Abel are going to have a petting session over here.
Hear Broadway guests and us acting like loons. This you can find here on Tennis and Tunes. When Ben Bradley cries, when the vine dies, whether June's or moon, I simply turn to my favorite thing, and they are a Tennis and
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, moms.
Hi, friends. Hi, moms. Hope everyone's having a great week out there.
Yeah. Hope everyone's staying warm.
Yep. Hopefully it's not as cold as it is here.
Or if you're warm, I hope you're staying cool. I don't know.
Or for all of our listeners in Hawaii.
I hope you're staying calm and cool. All right? I hope everything's okay.
Everything's great. Jimmy, how was your week?
It was good. I took a workshop on numerology.
I actually know a lot about numerology.
Really?
Yeah. I had this professor in grad school that was like super into it and directed all of our shows using numerology.
Oh, okay. I want to hear all about this.
Yeah. So we did like Les Mis on numbers. It was crazy.
Oh my God. So for anybody who doesn't know, like numerology is sort of like astrology, but with numbers, and each number corresponds to like a different sort of feeling and
emotion,
personality type and emotion. And it's very cool, and you can like learn how, who you are, and also like who you are in this particular, moment in time in this year, and what you're, there was so much to learn. So tell me more about
we were doing a concert version of Les Mis, and we were set up in our chairs based on our character's number. And so she came up to us before rehearsals even started, and she was like, this is your number, and like you live on this number because it corresponds to like this type of I don't know why her voice is like this is not how she sounds. But like the it corresponds to the character's emotion and blah blah blah, and then we would move to other numbers based on our character's emotional shifts.
Oh, okay.
And it it only got weird sometimes, especially like towards the end when everybody's dying and you're like, we just literally have to have these two people next to each other. So I don't know what to tell you.
Sorry. Okay. The five and the six have to be together. I'm sorry. Okay. They, right, like, they just have to be together.
I know that maybe it's not the right emotions, but okay. Yeah.
I did that once when I choreographed a little night music, which is a weird sentence to say. but we did like the opening number and I had each of the pairs that were initially together sort of doing a waltz together, and then they sort of broke off, and then they came back together with the people that they ended up with.
Ooh,
so it's like a little overture.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, foreshadowing. I'm very clever, guys.
Yes, you are very smart and
you.
The best choreographer.
Oh, thanks. I'm doing choreography right now, friends and moms.
Okay, so you did numerology.
Oh, yeah.
So you took a class.
I took a class.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was so much fun. And I learned so much about me that I'm a very creative person, but I'm highly sensitive and I cry a lot. So,
this sounds about right.
Yeah. How was your week?
It was great. I stopped dying. So
Yes, you sound lovely.
Yes, I actually have a voice this time. I'm very excited about that. All of the things have gone away and I've started working out again. So I'm a lot happier
though,
in person.
All those voice auditions for like deep males have gone out the window.
Yeah,
for
I
now,
know.
Though.
My agent's kind of mad about that one.
All those monster truck Sunday.
She was ready for it.
Yeah.
We wanted me to book all of those jobs. Yeah, but that's okay. It happens.
It happens.
And now I'm back to doing kids and cats, so.
Kids and cats.
If you know any kids or cats that need voices, I'm ready. It's literally all I do, you guys. Kids and cats.
Speaking of a dulcet tone,
of a beautiful voice.
Beautiful male, deep voice.
We have a great guest today.
We have a great guest today.
I'm so excited.
Please introduce our guest.
Our guest today is the wonderful Alex Gibson.
Yay!
Give it up. Yeah. Yes! You're ready for all of those Sunday auditions. Yeah.
Give us a deep, like, give it monster trucks, but okay. Do a sensual monster truck audition or call.
This Sunday, you've never seen a monster truck who cared so deeply about your emotions.
Is that what we were thinking? Is
that
no,
that's good.
Was
that's
it.
Good.
That was it.
That's
that was
good.
Perfect.
Give me a call 1-800.
Not that kind of show.
like a Geico-ish type?
Yeah, give me a Geico.
Say
in your most sensual voice, hey moms, 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Well, I don't know if the Geico people are very sensuous. They're like cool. They're like, hey moms, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Like if they're sensuous, it's like, hey moms.
Yeah.
Car insurance.
Yeah.
You know, actually.
Moms are listening to this podcast and leaping to buy Geico.
Yeah. You know, one of the last things I did, I really want to get into some voiceover. Mm-hmm. And I had gone to do some Voice of God for concert stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. That was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my new dream is to be like the Tony voice.
I love doing voiceover stuff mostly because I can be in my pajamas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And or like I can show up to an audition or whatever and not have to wear makeup.
Yeah. Why not do that all the time?
Right.
2018.
I know.
Possibilities are endless.
Well, I did show up at an audition the other day and I forgot my dress at home. Like I, you know, had laid it out on my bed and then just walked off and left it. And I was in literally like my workout clothes
and
boots. And I went up to my friend. I said, okay, is this like really bad? Like, do I look really bad right now? She was like, no, you look like a human that is going into the room. Just walk into the room.
Absolutely.
Be a human.
Be a human.
The years of the jewel tone peplum dress as a necessity are gone.
Gone. Mm-hmm. Gone.
Now, I just really quickly, I want to ask you about the numerology thing.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
One time,
ask away.
I did a summer stock thing with someone who did a numerology thing, and I forgot that was what it's called, because she did, it was a whole intense thing, and she, like, read me to a T, and I was like, and I was a projector type? Is that a thing?
Oh, it was a crash course. I wanted to say flash course. Okay. But that could work, too. He's very fast. So projector it was just a crash course. So it was just like, I don't know if we went into projectiles.
Okay. Yeah. I might have made that word up. But it was something.
But what does that mean?
It was something where like, oh gosh, I'm sorry, Felicia, if you're listening to this. It was like, I don't create energies. I just absorb other people's. So I get sick more. Oh. And you are really prone to like, she's saying even like if you're in a romantic relationship, you shouldn't like sleep in the same bed as the other person because you'll just like take on yes. all of their stuff. That's okay. not a problem for me, you but.
I don't take all their stuff. I do take all of their clothes.
I am and their money. And there's more of that. Yeah, but yes.
Gotcha. Right.
You can borrow Abel the cat. He is very good at snuggling and absorbing your energy.
But then Abel? You might be a cat.
That's
and
fine.
Then we would have another person who is in cat.
Yay!
The dream.
No. Never
I just
again.
Want to be Gus. Just one sensible Gus.
You would be such a skinty Jeff Gus. Listeners, this man might have like the baritone voice of just like, you know,
of Santa.
Of Santa smoking 10 packs of Marlboro.
Wow.
But he is a lithe gentleman.
I don't think I've ever gotten a review that didn't include the word beanpole. Truly, they're mine, always alike.
Mine is spunky. That's my word.
Ooh, spunky.
That like every review, spunky.
I like.
I mean,
why not?
I just can't get away from it. But I can imagine beanpole. That's
it's a lot of it's a lot. Sinuous.
Yes.
lanky.
I just get loud. Just very loud.
Those are all true words of all of us.
Those are everywhere. It's true.
So here's the deal. Before we get into our show today, I want to pour this wine.
Ooh.
Because I feel like we need it.
No, I have not had alcohol. I've been on so many antibiotics. I was with you.
Yes.
I had a chest infection. I had another infection. Bring it on.
Yeah, yes. What is with the pattern of the guests? I'm nothing to do with, you know, no offense, but of our guests, like either like I haven't had a drink or I'm not drinking.
I know. And then we're like, here you go. That, yeah. Well, it's the time of year too. Okay. So today we have this amazing wine. Well, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. So get ready for that, you guys.
Get ready.
And I will remember exactly when I first tasted this wine. About a year and a half ago, I tasted it and knew that this was going to be the show.
Nice.
That I wanted to pair it with.
Oh, that's amazing.
So this is a long time coming.
Okay.
I'm very excited for everyone to taste
is
this.
Is the wine from 1812?
Or
is
close.
It from a section of War and Peace?
Also close. Meaning it's from southern France in 2015.
Great.
So real close on both those
great.
Things.
Work. Love it.
There's French in the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's French. Okay, so Jimmy, I'm going to give this to you to
yes,
pour
me?
It out
okay.
while
I
give some
thank
facts.
You.
So like I said, 2015, this is the Sylvain Respeau Carbocult. And we have two grapes, the Ligonnès Pelu and Mourvèdre. Ooh, that was a little close to that mic. And
we need this wine, guys.
We need it. What's really, really cool about this wine is that there is no fining, there's no filtering, there's no sulfites, completely natural wine. And then it is fermented using carbonic maceration for 21 days. I know.
What does that mean?
So get ready for just a vocab, like, dump.
I know, yeah. Carbonic maceration is a lot, but it's a winemaking technique where it's a carbon dioxide environment, and that's how it's fermented, instead of just, like, leaving it in a tank and, like, pouring some yeast on it. It's done with carbon dioxide instead.
Very nice.
Yeah, and so and it's also done in full grape clusters, typically. Which is a lot. So, but the great thing about it is that you get a little bit of effervescence. in a red wine, but not like as much as you would with Lambrusco or something like don't think bubbles, like
don't think of sparkling.
No, definitely not sparkling, but just like a little bit of like a little bit of Pop Rocks on your tongue.
Ooh. But is it Pop Rocks, but not with Coca-Cola?
Never with Coca-Cola, unless you're like an 8-year-old boy.
Is that supposed to be bad? Is that death?
Okay, so everybody smell it.
Okay.
Ooh.
It is funky.
It is funky.
Yeah. It's super duper funky.
It's super duper funky and super duper like, I guess like it's not what I am thinking it's going to be from the look at it.
Well, you look at it and it's pretty light in body. I mean, light to medium, definitely not like medium plus or anything.
Yeah.
And it's like a purple color. And so you think that it's going to have like a lot of berry fruit on it,
yep.
But that's not what it is at all. Like, don't you like when you smell it, it's that forest floor. It's forest floor. It's oak. It's,
I thought you said forest four, which was like
yeah,
a weird
all those four
natural
things.
Superhero.
Forest five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a numerology thing.
There's also like some brine to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if like sea monkeys were living in this wine.
Great.
Not a bad thing. Not a bad
wine
thing.
Review.
That's a bad thing. Okay. Like a tequila, you want the worm, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you don't want... Okay. I'm not thinking that you want to drink it.
I don't know.
Let's go and taste. Funky.
Wow. Funky.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like a pop or something. There's something that like hits you or like just, you know.
Yep.
There's like a cool savory aftertaste too.
Definitely. Yeah. It has a really, really long finish to it. But do you see what I mean about that like effervescence to it? Like on your tongue?
Yeah. Yeah. It lightly dances like a million tiny fairies skipping through the forest. And the forest is your tongue. Forest floor.
Forest floor.
15 minutes can save you 50% or more on Geico.
I have no palate. This is good.
Well, you still do get some, like, fresh, ripe red fruits in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Even some, like, citrus in there, like maybe, like, a tangerine also in there. But I really love natural wines. I'm a huge fan when using indigenous yeasts rather than these, like, things that people, like, make up to that are similar to yeasts that they pour into the wine to help it ferment. And just by using things that are from the area. And this farm, actually, that's in Languedoc in southern France, it used to be a beekeeping farm.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. So they... Yay!
Abel just jumped up on my lap. Oh, my God. We're in love. Oh, yay. Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. He just jumped off. I was too eager. This is literally how all my relationships go. Oh, no. Okay.
Abel, you can do it.
Abel's here. We're getting married. Abel left.
I have to play it cool. I'm only going to like Abel's Facebook statuses like once every while. Then maybe one day I'll shoot a message.
You and me both.
It's true.
I'm sorry. Wine. Yes, the wine is good.
Beekeeping farm. So they... that's another way that they keep it really natural is by fertilizing the flowers on the vines with the bees, and it keeps everything super duper natural.
Wait, they fertilize the flowers with the bees?
Yeah.
Are we drinking dead bees?
No.
Are we drinking dead bees?
I'm sorry. I lost the step.
Well, no, basically that they like they pollinate, they help pollinate the vines and help everything grow. I went to a natural wine farm or vineyard, I guess, in California where they had bees that helped pollinate the vines, and then they had chickens that helped fertilize the ground along with like the goats, and it was crazy. Like everything had a reason. Like the goats were there to help like cut the grass.
Oh.
So it was like real natural.
Chickens were there to be made into pie.
That too.
Remember that movie? Remember Chicken Run?
Oh, yes!
What a great
Chicken
movie
Run.
That was.
Great movie.
I don't want to be made into a pie.
That's so good.
That's, I mean...
Okay, it's... now, it's 15 minutes or 4.
I don't want to be made into a pie. Nothing's so creepy, I can't.
I will make you into a pie.
Oh.
No?
Hi, moms.
Hi, moms. So that's the wine, and it's delicious, and everyone, Carbo Cult, go check it out.
It's very good. It has a dynamic or a contrary smell to its taste for me,
mm-hmm.
and like hashtag the views of what I'm just about to say are mine and mine only, and do not reflect Tannins and Tunes, Jessica Humphrey. Sometimes the smell sort of dissuades me from drinking it.
Yeah.
Smelling it. And then I'm like, I don't know if I want to. I don't know if like this shoe polish leather bee humping smell really makes me like want to taste it. And then I taste it. I'm like, no, but it's a lovely wine.
Yeah.
It's good.
That sometimes happens, especially with the funkier wines. That I am of the opinion that the funkier it smells, the better it's going to taste, or like it's the more that I'm going to like it. But sometimes that is not true. And it's a hard thing to get into also, especially.
Well, I think it's also like we are accustomed.
Yeah, we're conditioned to
know smoky wines or, you know, fruity wines. We're not accustomed to no funky wines.
Yeah.
Say, give me a low funky wine.
Funky wine. Oh, that wasn't great. I was kidding. No.
But just like Natasha Pierre.
Oh.
This is how the podcast works.
It is not exactly what it seems.
Yeah, okay.
And it's funky.
Just like Natasha Pierre, you open those doors, there's a waft of smell, and you're like, I don't want to see this musical. And then you...
and then you sit there, and it's great.
Yeah. And I think it's just because it's like, you know, you smell of just like oils from the instruments and BO, for because all the actors
everybody's
are running
everywhere.
Up and down.
And the food we hand out.
And from the
and
food.
The food.
Yeah.
But then it's a lovely musical.
So before we get into Natasha Pierre, Alex, yeah. I want to get a little bit of background on you.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. And your story.
Wow. Okay.
So you went to NYU.
I did. So I'm originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to NYU. And then after NYU, I did some shows in Minnesota at the Guthrie Theater. And I did a little mini tour in Japan. Did a bunch of regional stuff. And then came back to the city and did some shows and made my Broadway debut last year in Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
Super exciting.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
And tell us about that audition process.
Oh, it was one of the hardest things I've done.
Yeah.
It was, so they had already done the production a bunch of times, but most recently at the ART Theater in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And they were keeping a lot of the people, but they knew they wanted to add a few more tracks. So they had these auditions, and I played a little bit of accordion. So I lugged my accordion to and from
this
audition.
You have one.
I got one from a friend. I was like, you know, sometimes you do auditions, and you're like, you know, I'm going to put my best faith effort forward, and you kind of do it. And then there's sometimes when you like demon eyes come over you and you're like, I am going to do whatever I must to make this happen.
Yes.
And I like, they asked if we could play an instrument, and I had like mentioned I played percussion and like a little bit of accordion. They're like, great, bring the accordion in. And I literally like, my eyes went white. I like called three people to get an accordion. I like locked myself in a room and taught myself two songs on it. It was a lot. And then there's a series of very intense dance auditions. I had worked with Sam Pinkleton, who was the choreographer, on a show earlier that year, so I kind of knew his style. It's very mm-hmm. visceral, very kind of throw your body into it, not super technical. And so we had these super long auditions where we did a lot of movement exercises where we created movement together, and then there was, like, improv dance battles where, like, we would create a circle and, like, face off against someone, and then there's a bunch of auditions where they taught us this combo that was super long. And then they're like, because there's no real front to the stage, you're going to get in a circle and just face a random direction and do the dance and don't hit anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it so many times. On the day of one of our final callbacks, we did it for like, well, we did this, the improvisation for like 2 hours, and we did the combo for like another 2 hours. I think that might be a lie, but I think that. And then we were all like in a pile on the floor. They'd cut us down from like 30 to like 10 people. And then we're like, okay, thank God, we're going to go get to sing now. And they came back and they're like, so we're going to dance some more. And we all were like, okay, yay.
That moment where it's just quiet and everyone's like,
literally everyone's like, but it was also amazing because they really wanted to see who we were so they could build tracks around us. And
so they broke you to your core.
Yeah, it was like sophomore year of a BFA program. They were really just like, who are you? And they wanted a lot of like freestyle movement, and my go-to freestyles are like folk dancing and voguing, which happened to be exactly right for the show. But I was just living my life. So it was very lucky and fortuitous that happened. I know at least one of the things we did was an exercise that is used at the Playwrights Horizon School at NYU, where Sam had worked a little bit, where it's very much like you bring a move into this space, like you put your hand up and down, and then like the next person copies it, and then you like do something that's the opposite of that. But of course, this was a room full of people like desperately trying to get a job. So it's like, just do one repeatable motion. They're like, okay, triple kick your face down to the floor. Triple kick your... Like, there was a lot of that kind of stuff.
Ugh,
yeah.
No, I can't be bothered.
No, it was amazing. I mean, it was really like... And the truth of it, like a few weeks before then, I had gone to a viewing of RuPaul's Drag Race at Hogshead, which is right down here.
Yeah.
Hosted by Vivacious.
Yeah.
And she had done a thing where she picked two random people in the bar to do a lip sync for your life. Obviously, I was one of them.
Yes.
And they put on the music, and I literally danced harder than I've ever danced in my life. But the other guy also danced harder than he had ever danced in his life, so they're like, we needed to do another song.
Oh my God.
And I thought I was going to die, but I like pulled everything I had out of me. And then we did a third song, and I won. But, like, they gave me a free shot for it. And I was like, thank you so much. And I passed it to my roommate. I was like, I can't drink this. I'm going to die.
Right? I will literally throw this up right now.
Yeah. But it was, I remember we did the audition, and it was that exact same feeling. I was like, just pretend you're at the drag race viewing again. Because it's like, yeah, you are going for your life.
It feels like there are more stakes and higher stakes to the drag race competition than there is to getting that.
I mean,
that shot of...
There was a lot
important.
Of pride at stake at the Drag Race show.
So for our listeners who might not know,
yeah.
Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 is based on Tolstoy's War and Peace.
Hey.
And it's this, like, immersive...
War and Peace! Meow, meow, meow! Yeah, Russian literature.
It's
not that far off.
Immersive and vibrant production mm-hmm. of it. Dave Malloy wrote the music, and it's a pop opera.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but it's also like a chamber piece with like a chorus.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that kind of...
Yeah, that's all true.
Everything is true.
So give us kind of your rundown of it.
Well, it's worth noting that Dave Malloy, in addition to writing the music, also did the lyrics, the book, mm-hmm. and the orchestrations, mm-hmm. aka the man is a savant.
And he used to be in it.
Yeah,
he used to play Pierre.
He was
Pierre.
In it for a good chunk of our run as
yeah.
Pierre.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's based off of... War and
like
Peace is
70
a lot.
Pages.
Yeah, 70 to 80 page slice.
Yeah.
Which is very thin compared to like War and Peace.
Right.
Yeah. War and Peace could kill a person if you dropped it from a good enough height. The sliver would maim.
The perfect crime.
Yeah. Yes, it's today. That was a MAME reference I thought would...
Never mind. It's today.
But it didn't... Never mind. So...
Now it's stuck in my head. Thank you.
So he had been...
So let's talk about MAME. All right.
Angela Lansbury.
This wine pairs
the
so
and
well
the
with
little boy.
I just... Everything that has a staircase is indelible.
Yes.
But so he had been reading War and Peace, and he came across this old chunk, and he's like, oh, this, like, really well follows the structure of, like, a theatrical kind of plot. Mm-hmm. So basically, the story is about a young woman named Natasha, who's betrothed to this guy, Andre, but he's away at war. He misses her, and they have to go to Moscow, and while they're there, she doesn't get very good reception from his family. So she's already a little turned off. And then they go to the opera one night, and this hot scoundrel named Anatole comes and seduces her.
Ugh.
And she's like, I love you. And stuff goes down.
Yeah.
Just thematically, as we're talking about it, Dave wrote the music in such a way that it's really got its hands and its roots in a lot of kind of classical Russian folk music, mm-hmm. a lot of jazz too. But when Anatole specifically enters, there's this, like, beat drop.
Electronica. Yes. Yeah.
They specifically installed a bunch of subwoofers all around the theater, so it literally shook the theater. And every time he or one of his family members, he has an interesting relationship with his sister, anytime
right.
they're on, there is this kind of electronic presence, and it comes in, and it goes to certain points, and then once he leaves, it goes away.
Is it possible that I should never see you again? I love you madly, can I never? Natalie!
You press my arm!
Natalie!
You're hurting my hand!
Natalie!
I don't understand! I have nothing to say!
Burning lips pressed to mine. Tell me what just happened. I'm trembling, so frightening. Andre. Interesting. I guess I didn't even notice that.
That's amazing.
That's
yeah.
awesome. Well, and speaking of the set, mm-hmm. we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. So the set designer, Mimi Lian.
Yeah.
Incredible.
They MacArthur took, Genius winner. She's
right?
What?
Yeah.
Well, because no she joke. Took the Imperial Theater.
Yeah.
And transformed it into a completely new space with seats all over the place, with, like, ramps everywhere. I mean, mm-hmm. it doesn't even look like a theater. It looks like a...
It looks like the inside of a Fabergé egg.
Yes.
You walk... And the point is... And not only was it the inside of the theater... when you walked into the entrance of the theater, they had redone the entire entrance
and
then knocked out what used to be the coat room. So you walked through what looked like a Cold War bunker with all these posters, and it was ripped and very cold.
Yes.
A bunch of people who came during previews were like, are they finished with construction yet? but so you're really in this, like, cold, stark environment. And then the entrance took you to the very top of what was essentially the backstage, but you opened up into this glorious velvet, mm-hmm. lush environment.
Chandeliers everywhere.
Yeah.
Just gorgeous. Well, and I remember when it was in Times Square in the tent,
mm-hmm.
too.
Yes.
And that was super interesting because you come, like, literally right off of the street into this tent, and you're like, what is going on? There are just, like, tables around. Like, where's the stage?
Wasn't it right next to the mm-hmm. theater?
There were three tents, because it was off Broadway downtown, and then
and
uptown.
Then it moved to like 50. No,
it was in the something. Parking lot next to the Imperial Theater. So they moved it like a few hundred feet over, but like very.
But completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different. There were no chandeliers in the tent. There was a lot of beer.
Well, actually, a cool thing. I know that I don't see it before Broadway, but there's a very central chandelier to the plot.
Yes.
And as they did each production, they kept the chandeliers. So in the Broadway production, the one that had been the very first one, like Ars Nova, was hanging somewhere in the mezzanine.
Oh.
You could, like, point to where each one had been.
Oh, that's really sweet, actually.
That's so beautiful.
So tell us about your favorite moments in the show. I know, there are too many.
I miss it so much. there were a lot. The one that first pops to mind is there's a bit where Pierre, the titular Pierre, mm-hmm. Goes to the club and...
Played usually well, on Broadway by Josh Groban.
Yes.
From My Mother, so who
Pierre,
will freak
not
out.
The clerb. The Pierre.
The clerb is played by Josh Groban. Everybody
My mother
just walks and dance on him.
We'll freak out about that.
I mean, he's amazing. And if you listen to that cast recording, he's so good. He sounded that way every night.
Wow.
It was incredible. But in this moment, it's been kind of traditional up until that point. I mean, there's been a lot of crazy stuff, but it's been in this very specific style. And then they go to the club, and this crazy beat drops. It starts playing EDM music, and strobes that were placed around the entire theater go off. And we all ran on wearing, like, I was wearing, like, boots, short shorts, and a crop top.
Yes.
With, like, lots of little light-up things around me. And we just started screaming and running through the space and doing, like, club dancing and, like, voguing and, like, twerking on the wall. Fun to like be in the audience and experience that with them each
right.
night.
Did you
like elderly women just like what am I going on?
Not a Josh Groban concert.
I thought he was gonna sing Ave Maria.
I mean that was that was a lot of some people's experiences.
Did you ever have an interesting audience interaction?
Oh my gosh, there were so many. There were so many because each night it was so dependent on the audience. But the one I used to tell was that earlier on we got to like touch people more. We had to stop doing that a little bit. But during that number, actually, I had run down to the back of the theater and I was laying on a platform in front of some people and we're supposed to be like drugged out. And I was like looking at my hands and usually I would turn. And if the person looked like they were making eye contact with me and they're in it, I'd boop them on the nose and go, boop. And like turn around and I usually got a good laugh or whatever. And one night I did it and someone was like so confused and she's looking at me and I go to boop her nose and right at the last minute she turns away and I like picked her nose.
No!
And it was like no. And
did you just eat it at that
no!
time?
No. I have some glad. I wiped it and ran away like any normal person.
Oh, right. That's the normal thing to do.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Cool. I wouldn't have done that either.
And then ran for the nearest hand sanitizer.
Right,
exactly. But there was so much. I mean, like, it was constantly, you know, running through the aisles and, like, jumping over drinks and playbills and stuff like that. It's so
wow.
fun.
Wow. That sounds really fun. And any... what was your favorite song if you had to choose?
Sorry.
Well, okay. While you're thinking, I am hearing a lot at auditions and stuff right now. I hear a lot of No One Else.
Yes.
I hear a lot of Charming.
Oh, classic.
Like,
classic.
And granted, I'm at girls' auditions, so those are the ones that I hear most often.
Dying about you. Oh, how she blushes, how she blushes, my pretty. Oh, how she blushes, how she blushes, my pretty. I would say. You are such a lovely thing, where have you been? It's such a shame to bury girls in the country. Shamante, charming.
But there's something about it, too, when I hear somebody singing it that I'm like, that is a bold choice because it is not easy music.
No.
Like, you're not going in and singing like Somebody Somewhere
where
you can like hear.
Totally.
Got it. Like, you are.
Absolutely.
Like,
it's really,
that was such a good, great creation, by the way.
I know.
Well, you know, it really, and it comes back, like, Dave's roots are so in jazz, and oftentimes you don't notice as much until you do, like, the Music Notes version of a song. And
right.
Like, oh, yeah, this is...
Uh-huh. This is not how this sounds.
You know, one of my favorites to do was Letters, which was the Act Two opener. Mm-hmm. And actually, we got to a fun thing that we did. Wow, this is like, sorry, talking about this, I'm like, I feel like I'm talking about like an ex that I like still have a crush on. You know, like, we had really fun times where we used to do this thing.
I got just like really intense. I liked everything that Natasha Pierre did on Facebook. And I was like, why don't you come over?
We can still make it work.
We can still make it work.
In Letters, we handed out letters to the audience. And so every day we would write two or more letters. And, you know, sometimes you would eye someone in the first act that you wanted to give a letter to. And sometimes it was in the moment. And I had so many, like, puns and stupid things. And we'd play games where, like, one of my castmates would draw a picture. And then during intermission, I'd try to come up with a pun to match it. And so that aspect of it was really fun and
that's
matches
really cool.
A lot of like the improv background that's really satisfying to me. Mm-hmm. But we also, I'm a bass, surprise, and the show had a real bass part and that was one of those songs where I really got to dig into it.
Ooh,
which
nice.
Which is so satisfying.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, because that was insane. I remember seeing you and being like, I know him. Jimmy was sitting next to me. And yeah. Literally, that
I was
so drunk because we played the drinking
game.
I listened to the episode. Right? And so it was literally, I know, we were
it's
so
like,
wasted.
There's a
before and an after.
There's a very fun moment where you guys are like, Kevin Spacey is so good. He's so good. And I was listening to this last week, like,
oh, I was just thinking about that.
I was thinking about that earlier this week. But we were sitting literally on this couch, and I pointed at the TV. I was like, I know him! Aww. We did a show!
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, so surreal. I grew up in suburban Wisconsin, and I spent high school, like, locked in my room watching everything mm-hmm. I could get my hands on and, like, looking up every ensemble member and every mm-hmm. Tony performance. So, like, that was not lost on me how insane that was. And also just, like, the chances of, even if you do, like, get to be a Broadway actor, which is, like, oh, my God, what is happening? The chances that you get to be an original cast... And then an original cast that gets nominated for Tony and gets to perform. Mm-hmm. And then they end up choosing to do a number you're in a number that you have like a little feature in. Like, that's crazy. The odds of that are insane. So.
You were the girl on fire. You were. The odds were ever in your favor.
I volunteer as tribute. truly. It was crazy. And the moment is such a rush because when you're performing. You don't stay there. You don't get to see the Tonys because mm-hmm. there's so many people.
Right.
So you get changed at the theater. They bus you to the Tonys. I entered from the back in the aisles. So I ran up through the audience, jumped on stage, and like in a like, we hadn't made it every rehearsal because we had like two more. And so I was like, I hope I don't die on national TV. But I didn't. and we did the number. And it's this crazy adrenaline rush. And I ended the number holding this, like, prop bottle. Mm-hmm. And you literally, like, you finish. We walked off stage. I saw the band stand. People was like, hi. You walk out a door, get onto a bus, and then you go back to the theater. And so it's literally, like, 20 steps and you're on a bus. Mm-hmm. And so I sat on the bus and I was still holding the, like, prop vodka bottle in my hand. And I was like... Where do I put this?
I do now.
Stage manager.
Literally.
What just happened?
And remind me which song you all performed.
We did a mashup of Dust and Ashes and The Abduction. The Abduction in the real show was about 14 minutes long, so you see a partially truncated version of it. Mm-hmm. But yes, that's what we did.
Amazing. Goodbye.
Feels. Now that we've got some wine in us, we're gonna play games right now.
I almost joined in. I
yes!
really.
Yes!
But then I was like.
Let's do it again. Let's do it again.
Oh, no.
Ready?
Okay.
Here go.
Now that we've got some wine in us, we're gonna play games right now.
Yes!
Yes!
That was every dream I've ever had.
Every dream I've ever had.
Oh, God. This was much better than when I was in the Tonys.
Listen.
You still have that vodka bottle in your hand.
It might be in my bedroom. I might have stolen it. I didn't steal it, but if I did, that's where it was.
Joshy, he didn't steal it? Joshy Grobes?
Yes, because he's going to cut. Josh is going to text me and be like, Alex, I heard that you stole a prop. Not cool, man.
He also feels like he'd be like very on top of it, like almost doing like production manager stuff. Just yeah, okay, that's over there. Not in like a helicopter way, like not intruding on anybody else's job, but just like, you know, just wanting to help.
Jimmy.
Yes. Yes, Jessica.
You are going to be off the hook today.
Oh, she just fired you.
You know how many times I feel I'm going to get fired? You know how many times there is a guest in the show?
Typed out from the second part of the podcast.
Well, you know what? The second part of the podcast is a dance audition. So,
sorry. So get ready.
Oh, no. I'm not ready. My legs hurt.
You gotta go. Okay. All right?
Triple kick down. Well, I know Alex, and he is a musical theater trivia king. Oh. So we have to let him.
Let
You're
him win.
Say that, and I'm gonna do something stupid. You're gonna be like, "Who's Sondheim?" And I'm gonna be like,
"Oh, you want to know something? Really? I used to think that his name was Sondheim."
Okay, wait. Can I just say really quickly before I do this? I feel like a real thing. I know from my experience, it happens to be a lot of like gay men, but you know, all musical theater types who are really into it, there's a moment where you're talking about like Wild Party and they'll be like, oh yeah, I love the version by La Chiusa. And the thing is like, there's no reason they shouldn't because you've never heard it out loud. It's just like you studied the CD and you've read it online.
And I
did it at some point.
Mom friends, the joke is that it's Lacusa,
but it's spelled in a way which if you were to
you
read
would
it
would never know.
So that's, I feel a great commonality in that. I think that shouldn't be a thing that isolates us.
No show shaming
together.
And
no show shaming,
no shaming on pronunciations, because we all know that I'm terrible at that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
No, I wrote this whole article about show shaming.
Really?
Okay. That, like, my favorite musical, my favorite movie musical is 1776. Uh-huh. One of my favorite musicals is Bye Bye Birdie. And I can't tell you how many people look down on both of those things and look at me like I'm not a true musical theater fan.
Dance the Violin is one of my favorite songs.
Right?
Do you not?
It is gorgeous.
If you don't like Last 5 Years, then you don't really understand music.
Or like, the people that they're like, my favorite shows are Wicked and Rent. And we're all like, uh-huh, okay. Uh-huh. But we shouldn't shame them.
No.
Wicked and Rent are great
All
shows.
Of those shows are fantastic.
And they are wonderful gateway
exactly.
shows.
Gateway drugs.
Gateway drugs.
Yay, gateway drugs.
So, Alex, yes. you are going to be on deck here.
Oh, my gosh.
For musical theater trivia. Jimmy?
Yeah.
If Alex can't get it,
then I get to steal.
Then you get to steal.
I like this. I like this.
Okay. So today's game is sung through musicals.
sing through a musical in 30 seconds.
So
first,
like
Natasha Pierre and the Great Comedy in 12.
So like Natasha Pierre, yeah. Which is a completely sung through musical.
Except for one line.
Yes. And some of these have a couple of lines in there, but I tried to stay away from ones that had too many lines.
Yeah, yeah.
So, question number one.
Yes.
Name the characters that do not die in Les Mis.
Oh. I mean, okay. So, you have Thénardier, Madame mm-hmm. Thénardier, mm-hmm. that don't die.
Mm-hmm.
Cosette and Marius go on to live a nice life together.
Yep. I'm pretty sure that's it.
That's it?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, cool.
Okay, question number two.
Yes.
Which brother does Joseph set up with a stolen cup?
Oh, it's because it's in the title. It's,
Blank Calypso.
Yeah, hey, I want to say Jacob, but that's not
Benjamin!
Yep.
Oh no, Nazi. Benjamin is, okay, wow, yeah, yeah. I just kept thinking about, sorry.
Jacob and Ben.
You know what? I mean, if you fail this, then we're going to have a lip sync round for you.
And yeah.
You
yeah. Yeah. Your face the podcast listeners will love
it. They will love it.
Love a good lip sync.
What is the name of the cow in Over the Moon in Rent?
Oh.
I know. These are difficult.
No, Diet Coke. Wow, I'm blanking again.
Can I steal?
Yeah.
Can I try and steal at least?
Yes.
Is it Daisy?
Nope.
Okay.
It's, oh, dang. It's literally.
It's right there.
What is it?
Is it Joshy Gropes?
No, but close. Elsie.
Yes.
Alex
Mom's
is so
friend.
Bad.
Alex is sorry. Convulsing.
I'm so sorry. I'm probably peaking so much on the volume with these like shrieks. Of my...
No, nobody can be louder than me. All right, so don't even worry about it.
Question number four.
Yes.
The Rainbow Tour takes place in this musical about a famous diplomat.
Evita.
Yes. One of my faves.
I slightly redeemed myself. There we go.
Having just closed on Broadway, no longer will audiences hear the tale of Skimbleshanks.
The cats.
Yes. Jimmy.
Yeah. Da, na, na, na. That was me.
Okay. I can't believe I forgot Elsie. Great. Let's go.
Okay. This is my shining moment. Chris was hunting you. It's from what show?
I'm sorry. Whoa. Can I get that one more time?
No, that was it.
Chris,
what's haunting you?
Oh, Miss Saigon.
Yes. I just wanted, that's all I want to do.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. That's all I want to do with my life.
Be in Miss Saigon.
I hate to tell this to you.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Wait, you could be Ellen.
Ellen, yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Isn't that what the...
Yeah, that's...
Right.
Well, the only thing that I could do is that part.
Yeah,
is
yeah,
the
yeah.
only reason that I want to be in the show.
Which
I thought twice, because I'm obsessed.
But
it was beautiful, though.
Okay, next question.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is a review of Sondheim's lesser-known musicals.
Putting it together? Or Side by Side by Sondheim?
Nope.
Or,
Completely sung through. Starred Jason Tam and Laura Molina.
Oh, right.
That's what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Craig Lucas helped conceive it. And Norman Renee.
What's it called?
Marry Me a Little.
Ooh.
I'm going to be a bad... I don't think I heard
It's okay.
That.
So in 1980, it was off Broadway. 81 moved off Broadway.
We'll take your card now.
And then in 2012, they did a off Broadway revival of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love those. Jason Tam and normally I'll watch anything.
Go listen to that cast recording because it's beautiful. Okay. Mm. It is definitely beautiful. Okay.
Great.
So in this Jason Robert Brown show.
Yes.
What
13.
Is the name of the former stripper's snake?
So good.
Wayne.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I can't get over the Elsie thing. I'm so embarrassed, ashamed.
That's okay, because you're gonna get these next couple. Okay, Taylor Trench, who is gonna be taking over as Evan and Jeremy Hansen, love him. He played Peter in this show about two gay Catholic high school students dealing with, full title.
A pop opera?
Yep.
Pop opera.
A pop opera?
A pop opera. When I hear the words pop opera, I usually mean it's something I can't sing. So I kind of glaze over.
Okay. Not for me. Swipe left.
Next question.
Yes.
Coming soon to NBC.
Rise.
Yes. Yes.
What?
Though it's not a sung through musical.
Sorry,
so try again.
Are we...
Coming soon to NBC, sung through musical. John Legend's going to be in it.
Jesus Christ. Superstar.
Yeah.
Yeah, we turned that around.
That was so good. That was so good.
That was good.
You know, can I tell you, honestly, my dream role is to be not... Is Herod the low bass?
Yes.
I don't want to be Herod. I want to be like
Pilot?
The Herod understudy who's next to him is like, he's top of the pole. Like, I want to be that guy.
That's such a good line.
Literally.
Right.
That's all I want.
I love that. Actually,
Johnny Ledge, if you're listening, with Joshy Grobes, I know you guys are friends. Give this man that job.
I'm a fool. But wasn't there a, like, Shoshana Bean?
Is that the one that I'm thinking of,
I don't know. Still haunted by Elsie.
Yes,
that's all I can think about right now.
Morgan James, Shoshana Bean, and more to record a Jesus Christ Superstar album,
but
all
I think it was basically they did like a 54 Below concert or something.
They must have.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Because that's what, when you said show shaming earlier, I thought you were talking about Shoshana Bean. And I was like, I will not stand
Shoshana
for
Bean
anyone
and show
shaming Shoshana Bean.
Shoshana Bean.
No.
I wake up every morning and sing Cold Turkey.
Yes.
That song is so good. If you don't know it, it's one of her like pop songs.
Yes.
And the video is great. They have a great dance. It's a cold turkey. It's so good.
We're going to cut it in right here.
We're going to cut it right here.
Now that you've listened to it, I hope you too will go watch the video, celebrate, like tell your man that he's nothing, and do a little dance on the front lawn with your elderly neighbors.
Yes. Okay, we have.
I still think this was all by Maria.
Okay, two more questions. This musical,
like, doing this. Stop talking.
We're gonna get through it.
Every single podcast recording, she's like, "Stop talking, Jimmy."
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready.
This musical involves roller skating trains.
Starlight Express.
Yes.
I went to One Rock and Roll Too Many because that's the first song I knew from it because Saisha sang it at American Idol.
Yes.
Which was great. There's Saisha Mercado, who came third on which season of American Idol?
I don't know.
I think it was the one with Adam Lambert. Anyways, they had to do like a musical theater. And she came out in this red dress and stood by the piano and was like, "One Rock." I was like, "Oh, you're a musical theater actress." And next thing you know, she's headlining the tour of Dreamgirls.
As she should. She's fantastic.
She should.
Last one. One Night in Bangkok, Nobody's Side, The Arbiter, I Know Him So Well, Pity the Child are highlighted in this show that is sometimes sung through, other times is not. It also starred Josh Groban in the Actors Fund concert and UK version.
Chess.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
Yes.
I too am sometimes sung through and sometimes not.
What?
As you should be. Okay, so before we finish up, we have to talk about, it is National Swing Day! Yay!
It is
so we
want
to honor you
for
being a swing over at SpongeBob.
Yes. We talked about Natasha Pierre, so let's talk about something very similar, SpongeBob.
Right, just to like wrap it up, how's your experience?
How you doing?
Oh, it's been amazing.
How's Joshy Groves as Squidward?
No, I wish that'd be amazing. Actually, Gavin Lee, who's Squidward, is amazing.
Yeah.
And I saw him do Mary Poppins in high school and, like, freaked out. And so It's been an honor to be his understudy.
Yeah, but speaking of, right, of Squidward?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I saw it today.
Yeah.
And
you saw it today?
I saw it today.
What?
I know.
Oh, did you enjoy it?
I did. I had a great time. It was so creative.
Yeah.
I mean,
Gina
insanely
is
creative.
Amazing. And her vision for it has really been incredible.
So awesome. And just like the set and the music is so fun. Mm-hmm. Just like a party the whole time. I didn't grow up watching SpongeBob. And so for me, I think a lot of the jokes were lost on me.
Because she was too young, guys.
I was
too young.
Very young.
I will say SpongeBob raised me. Like,
yeah.
SpongeBob is my third parent. So I'm a little too immersed in it to know, like, what's not.
Right.
But, yeah, it's a really fun time, and it has a sense of optimism and hope to it that has been really valuable for me, at least personally. It actually, you know, it really ties in a lot of social issues mm-hmm. without being
it does.
Obnoxious or dictative, but it feels relevant. And it's an original story, which, mm-hmm. you know, as people kind of tend to be cynical and bemoan transfers of previous things, movies or whatever, you know, this is an entirely original plot that mm-hmm. has been developed for the here and now. So it's really great. And I got to do almost a full week of Squidward last week, which
is so exciting.
Yes.
Crazy.
I literally, when I was watching it today, I was like, oh, Alex is so good in this role. Yeah. Like, I have to come see it when you're on because I can't, I like was watching Gavin do the tap number, which I mean, he's fantastic.
He's unreal.
But I was also like, I want to see Alex do it.
So what are, we're going back to National Swing. What are some of your favorite things about
Being a swing?
Yeah, I mean, I love swinging so much, and especially in this show because everyone in the ensemble is super featured, and so it's sometimes swinging is more like, you know, in the dance number, like where do I stand in the formation,
mm-hmm.
which is great, and it happens a bunch in this show too. But every single one of the characters I cover has their own, like, lines, and sometimes, like, a few of them have their own songs, and mm-hmm. so it's, like, investigating how do I walk as this character, and how do I talk as this one, and it's such a variety of styles that it really keeps you on your feet. So, like, the first time I went on was a crazy, crazy last-minute go-on, and the first thing I did in the show was this pop-lock sequence.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that was, like, not necessarily something I would say in my life that I, like, bill myself first as.
It's not in your special skills?
Number one, pop and locking. Number two, white-eyeing accordion playing.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, I went out and I was doing it. And then, you know, so that kind of thing is crazy. And it really keeps it fresh to be out of it sometimes and have some natural breaks built in and then be able to go into it.
Sounds amazing. I love swinging too, so I totally get that brain of like, I am going to know everybody's part. Mm-hmm. How many tracks do you swing?
Let me think. I think it's technically 11.
Okay.
Well, Squidward's an understudy.
Mm-hmm.
There's 8 men, and mm-hmm. I cover all of them, and then like parts of women's choreo.
Right.
There's like, I have to know a few of their stuff.
Well, I assume like for the plankton. Not plankton, the okay. with the sure. starfish. No, they're
the sardines.
They're sardines, yeah. That you can, like, pop into somebody's
Absolutely.
Track on that pretty easily.
Yes, and especially in Act Two, there's a lot of us, like, moving things and manipulating stuff, and that's the kind of thing where I just have to know all of it.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but it's great. I mean, like, I'm tutting in the show. Ha-ha, you know.
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a big old tutting gospel number, and it's crazy to be up there doing that.
It's hilarious.
Kids, yes.
Yeah.
I also hope that you're one of the ones that goes on stilts, because you're already very tall.
I mean, like, the number of special skills that are being put...
That you're accumulating?
Accumulating are great. And actually, it got cut during previews, but there was an accordion solo I learned, too, on the show. But, yeah, it's knowing how to do stilts and, the hip hop and tutting and tapping and,
mm-hmm. I mean, everything.
Lots of stuff. But it's all, oh, like, I, as one of the tracks, I start the show upside down, flying in the air.
Yes.
And, like, that was a fun rehearsal where I was like, oh, I'm going to go upside down now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was actually saying to my roommate today that that'd be a really fun dance call to go to.
Everybody like, get in this harness.
Really fun.
Well, it was crazy because it's almost the opposite experience of Great Comet because it was a really quick experience.
Mm-hmm.
I went in for an audition and it was very like more movement based. It was like walk across the room doing this kind of stuff. And they were super sweet about it. And then I did a reading of it. And then I didn't get it. And then someone dropped out right before we started. And so I did get it.
Great. Yay. I'm here.
Yeah, literally.
I'm not sick.
Literally.
And so when you do the Tony production, you know, the Tony number, what are you going to steal from there?
I am going to take every bottle.
Every bottle of vodka that is?
Every bottle of vodka featured in SpongeBob SquarePants, which is a lot of them.
It's a lot. It's funny. You would think that there wouldn't be.
That's a joke, Nickelodeon, Viacom. That's a joke. Don't hurt me.
As well as moms. Moms.
As well as moms. Moms don't tell Viacom.
Moms don't tell your Nickelodeon, Viacom vice president.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that would be amazing to get to do it again. I hope.
You never know.
That happens, and you never know.
Yeah.
But the real thing you take from it is just like, this is a dream I had as a kid, and now I'm an adult doing it.
Yeah, that's so lovely.
That's so beautiful.
With
it's
that, where can people follow you on social media?
Through the caves into the forest, they can follow me on Instagram at Alex Gibby. And on Twitter at Alex V. Gibson. I know they're not the same. I'm trying to get the Twitter handle of Alex Gibby, but someone who's inactive has it. So report them and then follow me.
Yes. Jimmy, where can people find you?
The same. Two different handles. I hope you can handle it. Fun. At Instagram at Jimmy Robertson and at Twitter at Jimmy _ Robertson.
And you can find me at JM Humphrey 1 on all the places because I got into it first, you guys.
Yeah.
And you can follow Tannins and Tunes at Tannins and Tunes on all the things and email us at tannins and tunes@gmail.com. And don't forget to sign up for your tasting notes because I send those out with every episode. So you get information about the wine, you get information about our guests, you get fun videos about our guests that I steal from YouTube. Get ready for that. Sometimes you get fun videos from me that are like me doing rent in college.
You get sometimes you'll get a letter from Alex.
You'll get a bottle.
You'll get him liking all of your stuff if he thinks you're super cute.
Yes.
I just think we could have a really fun time together. I'm just nice and you're nice. I'm like, why not?
And don't forget about our review challenge. So we don't have any new reviews to share today.
Right.
So get on it, people. Our reviews, when you write a review, we're still going to be donating $1 towards a charity that needs our help right now. So we're still doing hurricane relief efforts. We're still doing Las Vegas shooting efforts because it's important that we still support these people who need help right now.
Right.
And we have some people here in our neighborhoods, like in the Bronx and then right up here in Hamilton Heights with fires that just happened. So that's something that's super important to us right now. So make sure that you get your reviews in so that we can donate money towards these relief efforts. And we'll pair a wine with your username.
It's a win-win.
Woo! Yeah, so get on that.
All right. This podcast, this episode was brought to you by Geico.
15% or more on podcasts could say, oh, I lost it. It's gone.
You were so close. You were so close.
You were so close.
I love it.
Okay, 15% or more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye, moms.
Bye, moms.
Bye, moms.
Have a lager just for fun. A lager just for fun. Lager's fun. What about